Shall we please turn together to Genesis and chapter 5? Genesis chapter 5, and we read together from verse 18 up to 24. This is a very familiar passage and story of Enoch, who walked with God. And it is my desire this evening to remind us concerning the subject, walking with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 to 24, although we'll consider strictly verses 21 to 24, but I want us to start reading from verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. As I hinted, this evening I would like us to consider the subject, walking with God. Where is this coming from? It is coming from verses 21 to 24. In verse 22, we are told to say, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Notice again in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Beloved brethren, walking with God is primarily a personal activity. Walking with God is something that should be done by an individual and in his heart. Many are the Christians today who are hiding in the crowd, in the church, in the ecclesiastical institution. Many of them are in ICU, intensive care unit, because they are not walking with God. They are merely sustained by these meetings. They do not have personal devotion. They do not have quiet time in the morning, any other time. The only time they can pray is when they come in a gathering like this or they are about to eat. And so when we talk about walking with God, I'd like us to think about it on a personal and individual level. And I must also start by asking this question. Are you walking with God? The Bible tells us nothing about the early years of Enoch. All we know is that at 65, he became a father of a child named Methuselah. After that child was born, we are told that Enoch walked with God. It is interesting, as we have noted, that we are told twice in these verses that Enoch walked with God. And I must say that it is no coincidence that this walking is coming to us twice in this particular passage. It is an emphasis of what God is saying to us about this man. Beloved brethren and friends, the testimony that we see recorded in chapter 5 of Genesis and verses 21 to 25 about Enoch is not a testimony that he gave himself. This testimony of his life was given to us by God himself. In other words, when God looked at the life of Enoch, indeed, he was able to say he was well pleased with this man. What is my testimony when it comes to walking with God? If the Lord was to look upon my life today, upon your life today, is he going to say you are indeed walking with him? Walking with God is not merely being involved in the activities of the church. Walking with God is not mere talk of the doctrines that we embrace, of the scriptures that we have memorized. But I must say to you that the definition of walking with God, and as is used in this particular verses, is that the word walk is a biblical expression for fellowship and obedience to the Lord. The word walk is the biblical expression for fellowship and obedience to the Lord. So when we talk about walking with the Lord, we are saying, we are reflecting on our fellowship with God. We are reflecting on our obedience with God. Are we really in fellowship with him? It refers to a manner of life that is lived in nearness to God. This is the kind of God, the kind of life that Enoch walked before God. Notice with me that the very concept of walking is movement. It is a forward progression. So when we talk about walking with God, we are talking about movement. Whoever walks with God makes progress. Whoever continues in this life of obedience, a life of fellowship with God, makes progress in his life, in their life. And the progress we are talking about is spiritual progress. Not again. Walk is used as a popular biblical metaphor for our daily lives, the way we conduct ourselves, day in, day out. So when we talk about walking with God, yes, there is this aspect of your fellowship and obedience to him, but we are also talking about how you are living your life outwardly. I therefore want to mention to you this evening that as we look at walking with God and taking a leaf from the life of Enoch, I want us to look at three things. The first being observations on walking with God. We want to just observe a few things concerning walking with God. Secondly, I want us to look at the nature of this walking with God. And in the third place, look at the benefits of walking with God. Beloved friends and brethren, I'd like to just emphasize again that when we talk about walking with God, it is indeed a personal activity. It is something that is required of us. It is something we cannot avoid if at all we are saved. Sometimes the church limps. Sometimes the church is dragged. Why? Because there is no walking with God by individual members. We make up this church, And we cannot hide in this walking with God as a congregation, but we must come with our personal experience of walking with God and fitting together into the church so that we can do the will of God. Observations, therefore. When we look at walking with God, as stated in verses 21 to 24, the first observation is that Enoch's walking with God had a starting point. Read with me verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. I'm very much interested in the first word in verse 22, after. Again, notice with me and observe that it is after he has this son that we are told he is now walking with the Lord. Before he had Methuselah, we are not told that he walked with God. But there is a starting point. Beloved friends, if you wish to walk with God, you must have a starting point. Logically speaking, even when you are walking with someone, even in real life, or you are going outside, you must have a starting point of walking with that individual. I'm very much aware that there are those who do not have a starting point in walking with God. And if there is no starting point, you are not walking with God. At 65, he begat Methuselah. And we must actually say, without stretching it too much, that we can actually get a principle and a hint concerning his conversion. This is when things are beginning to happen. So each and every walk has a starting point. There are so many suggestions as to what the name Methuselah means, but one of the things that I came across, and it was very interesting, was the meaning of the name. And this person said the name Methuselah means when he is gone, it will come. If you were to do your math, you find that Methuselah died the very year of the flood. You can find this in Genesis 6 to 8. And the hint that we get from there is that there is a message behind this name. And that message, I'm sure that Enoch understood it perfectly well. And what I'm trying to say to you this evening is that there must be this hearing of the word. There must be an understanding of what you are doing or what you're about to do. There must be an understanding of your status before God. There must be an understanding and awareness of your sin before God. You must see the need for the Savior in your life. Sometimes we do force people to walk with God. We expect too much from them. But maybe there has been no starting point. God used the birth of that child to open the heart of Enoch. God used it to save his soul. Apart from observation number one, that there must be a starting point. Secondly, there must be an agreement. Walking with God implies a right relationship with him. And when you talk about a right relationship with God, we must well remember that we, by nature, are sinful men and women, Boys and girls, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've been separated from God. We are in rebellion, as it were. But when we talk about, again, walking with God, there must be a point when we are in this right relationship with God. And this, by implication, means that there must be agreement. Amos 3:3 poses a rhetorical question. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Indeed, it is important when you talk about walking with God that you ask yourself whether you are in agreement with God. So, beloved brethren, a person who is living a life of disobedience, a person who is not in agreement with God, will not walk with Him. A person who is living in sin will not walk with God. Inasmuch as they serve, maybe in church, inasmuch as they do and say good things, they do good things and say good things, if they are living that rebellious, sinful life, there is no agreement, and therefore they are not walking with God. In other words, a summary of the observations about walking with God is that it is supposed to be a visible walk. When you look at this life of Enoch, it was so visible for people to see what was happening in his heart. In his heart, he had a relationship with God, but that was overflowing as people saw the obedience, as people saw the piety, the way he lived his life, the way he lived his righteous life. Enoch lived a life that demonstrated faith in his heart. It is so sad sometimes to see Christians who do not express faith at all in their lives. They don't demonstrate anything of God's leading in their hearts. Enoch's walk was visible. He didn't talk one way and live another. His walk was consistent, and it was as he believed. This man walked in humility and obedience, and it was visible. Another observation is that it was a vocal walk. Why do we say vocal? Jude 14 and 15 gives us something interesting about this man called Jude. There's something recorded about him in Jude 14 and 15. And this is what the Bible says. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." What we see here is that Enoch was a prophet, according to Jude. And we can safely say that he was the world's first prophet. He preached repentance to that generation. He preached about the coming judgment and the need for repentance. Those who walk with God talk about him. Those who walk with God will talk about him. They will lead a vocal life. They will witness where they are staying. They will witness where they are working. And indeed, they will share God's word. We must care to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. What about him? About his death? About his resurrection? And about his coming back. The truth of the matter, beloved brethren, is that when you look at the life of Enoch, he was busy working for the Lord. As a result of spending time before God and being obedient to God, he was able to do God's will. Secondly, the nature of this walking with God. And here we ask an important question and looking at it in detail. What is this walking with God? How does it look like? How did Enoch walk with God? Hebrews 11, verse 5 to 6. The Bible reads as follows. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The nature of walking with God. Walking with God entails walking by faith, according to what we have seen. It means walking by faith. And if one should claim that they are walking with God, they must be walking by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? Let us be reminded of a few things. It means to trust God. When we walk by faith, we are placing our trust in Him and seek to honor Him by obeying His word and doing those things that please Him. So Enoch, in his walk with God, indeed trusted God. He had put all his trust in God, as we were singing, trust and obey. If you are seated here, my beloved brother or sister, and you claim to be walking with God, yet you don't trust Him, you are not walking with Him. Because you don't trust Him, you trust yourself, you trust in your own chariots, you trust in your own abilities, therefore you are alone, and you're walking alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Those who walk by faith, we see they no longer rely on their own judgment. There is some level of dependence upon our own intellect, intelligence, information, whatever we have, that comes upon us sometimes when we accumulate doctrine. There is this big-headedness which comes to us as Christians sometimes, whereby we don't depend on God. We live not by faith, but by sight, because we think we know it all, because we've experienced it in life before. Therefore, we know that we can encounter these things not with spiritual ability and help with the Lord, but only our brains. Walking by faith, and when one is walking with God, they no longer rely on their own judgment. They no longer do what they want. They don't just follow their own dreams without considering biblical principles, without considering God's word. They don't just fulfill their desires as they please. Rather, they are walking a complete reliance on God. They know that in this world, they need God. They know that their righteousness is but filthy rags. They know that they are not all-knowing. They know that they cannot tell what tomorrow holds. They know that they are limited in their abilities. They know that in this crooked and sinful world, left to themselves, they cannot make it. Therefore, they rely upon God. And this is what this man Enoch, I'm sure, did. He walked with God, relying upon God, trusting Him as it were. And the trusting and relying upon God involves all departments of one's life. It is not as though you can rely on God when exams come, when you have got troubled situations at work, when you've got all the trials before you, that's when you can trust in God and rely on God. But there's this reliance in all departments of one's life. Walking by faith means living a life in light of eternal consequences. Living the life, or living life in light of eternal consequences. Everything that you do, you must look at the eternal consequences of that. In other words, you should set your minds on things above, as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says to us. The Apostle Paul, in ministering to these people, to the Colossians, he tells them the following words: set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Enoch had to turn away from temporal things that tempt us daily, things that will stop us from doing spiritual tasks, things that will actually spiritually sidetrack us or derail our lives. Are we not told in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 to 8? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Friends and brethren, a mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. It cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So when we talk about walking with God, the aspect of faith is very important. As we are told in Hebrews chapter 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. If you are to walk with God, you must be pleasing to Him. Walking with God entails that we hate the world. We must hate the world. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You must not love the world if you are to walk with God. Because the world is in opposition, not just in opposition, but it is actually contrary to what God teaches. You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. We are told in the Bible it is practically impossible. So walking with God entails that you hate the world. And if you hate the world, The positive thing that should come immediately after that is you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. If you don't love God, you will not walk with Him. If you don't love your wife, you will not live with her. If you don't love your husband, you will not live with her. You will not walk with her properly. Walking with God entails walking by faith. But not just walking by faith. We must see here that the nature of walking with God must be consistently by faith. By faith, but we are adding another word, consistently. What do we mean consistently? In every case or in every occasion. Verse 22, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for he took him. Beloved friends, walking with God, remember we are talking about the nature of it, must be consistently by faith. In every case, in every occasion, sometimes life brings so many stumbling blocks. Sometimes life brings so many problems, so many hurdles. And I'm sure that Enoch was no exception to such things about life. But here is a man who consistently walked by faith. It is not that today he puts that faith in his pocket, he uses the flesh to reason and to live. Tomorrow when it fits him or the situation is good, he brings back that faith again. He actually walked consistently by faith. A man who does not apply faith consistently in his life is full of flaws. A woman who does not apply faith consistently in their walk does not actually achieve any spiritual growth. Enoch walked in intimacy with God for 300 years. One time when I was doing a Bible study on this particular verse or the verses, I did challenge those who were there. And I was saying, if it is difficult for you and me to live or to walk with God for 365 days, look at a man who walked with God 300 years. Most of us do walk with God when it best suits us. And sometimes I think we don't really realize that God is a being. I don't know how you'd feel as an individual when either your wife or husband or your parents name it, today they feel like walking with you, tomorrow they are not there, they are not consistent in the way they are living with you. And I'm sure you'll be hurt. I'm sure you'll be saying, but why? And we do forget that we do the same thing to God. God has got feelings. We are told that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And from time to time, I'm sure this is what we do to God. We hurt His feelings by our conduct. We hurt His feelings by not being consistent in our walk with Him. This man, not only do we see him walking by faith and walking consistently by faith, in which we see that it is attainable, especially if we surrender daily to him, we also see that this man walked constantly. Constantly meaning continuously over a period of time. And in verse 22, 300 years. Continuously. He wasn't the kind of a Christian who today will appear and they will excite you by their input into the ministry. They will excite you by their attendance when it comes to the means of grace. And then another period comes and they go away as it were. This man was continuously attending to the things of God. He was continuously walking with God. Three hundred years. This is the nature of this walking with God. It must be done by faith, and it must be done by faith consistently, and it has to be done constantly. Thirdly, benefits of walking with God. One of the things that we see about this man in verse 24 is that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Notice with me some of the things that we know about the people mentioned here. Picking it up from verse 9, Enosh lived 99 years, begot Cain. And what do we see in verse 11? So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. What do we see about the rest of them, including Jared, as we started from verse 18? We see verse 20, so all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. I'm simply reminding you of the things that you know, but I want us to take note and do not take it for granted. Verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And what do we see in verse 27? So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. All these people, we are told, they died. But in verse 24, this man who was well-pleasing before the Lord in his walk, we are told that he was not, for God took him. In other words, we see that one of the benefits, and the outstanding one and the most clear we see about this man, is that he did not see death. He was translated, as it were. This is also emphasized in Hebrews and chapter 11. We see that it is one benefit accrued to this man. He did not see death. He was a friend of God. He walked with him and he was rewarded. God took him. He did not die. Beloved friends, those who genuinely walk with God indeed have this eternal fellowship with God. Their fellowship does not just end here on earth. Even as they face death, God is with them. Even as their lives are translated, as they go to heaven, God is still with them. This is the benefit of walking with God. At the time of your death, people will be crying because there's separation. They'll remain here on earth. Your soul will go. It is painful. Fellowship has come to an end. But for you who is a Christian and has been walking with God, we see that there is this eternal fellowship. It is as though God comes to you on that deathbed. He holds your hand and he still goes with you. You are ever present, or you're ever with him. He's present. You are in the bosom of God. This man had this benefit that he did not see death. He didn't die. It is an example or a lesson for us to take home, to see that indeed there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is always with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will spend eternity with him. Indeed, God is there, ever present, and he will be with us. The benefit is obviously of continued fellowship. It continues. But there are also some other benefits that we see when we talk about walking with God. And the benefits are not so much eternal benefits, talking about after you die, but there are benefits that you'll be able to experience in this life. And maybe you're asking this question, you're saying, but why should I walk with God? But why should I concentrate on this walk? But why should I live this life of fellowship and obedience to God? But why should I be devoting myself to doing all these things? Those who walk with God have got a continued guidance here on earth. They've got a continued guidance. Because they are walking with God, they are guided in this life. Because they are walking with God, they are shown the path in which to walk. Because they are walking with God, they will respond to life situations in a biblical way. Because they are walking with God, even when they are faced with all manner of trial, they will be able to do the right thing because God leads them. The psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin. We also see in Psalm 119 and verse 105 talking about what God's word is to this psalmist. What does he say? Remember, we are talking about continued guidance here on earth. Psalm 119, verse 105. And this is what God's word is saying to us. It is reminding us of what God's word does to us. We see that God's word will give us light. God's word will guide us, as it were. Psalm 73, verse 23 to 26. I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist in Psalm 73 puts it very clearly. You hold my right hand. You guide me in your counsel. We all need the counsel of God. A man who does not walk with God will not have this kind of counsel. A man who is not walking with God will not hear what God is saying. A man who is not walking with God will not do what God's word says we should do. What are we saying then in conclusion? As I said in my introduction, it is very possible for us to be swallowed or swamped into the activities of the church, to be swamped into the flow of the church. And so we are there and living our Christian lives by default, not caring where we stand spiritually, not caring whether we are in tune with the Lord. It is only when certain things happen that we are reminded of where we are. But remember, walking before God is an individual activity. This man walked before God alone, dedicated, devoted as it were, and it is him alone who was actually translated as it were. And this is also a reminder of the judgment. You will stand alone. You give account to the way you've lived as a Christian, alone before God. You will not be punished for your wife's sins or for your daughter's sins on that particular day. Maybe if you are negligent, but that's stretching it. What we are saying is you will stand before the Lord and give account to whatever, to the Lord, for whatever you have done. Enoch's faith was evidenced and validated by God. Sometimes we do deceive people. I can come here in a suit, pull theological strings, say all sorts of things. I may be able to minister. I may be able to do all sorts of things in my ministry. And you'll be thinking I'm well spiritually. You'll be thinking all is well. Probably you'll be admiring me when you see me on Thursday, coming, probably ushering. And you'll be saying, maybe my friend is okay. It is good for us to be active in the church, but beware. You might be moving and walking alone. You are not walking with God. Enoch's faith was evidenced and validated by God. Will he do the same to your life? Remember, God searches our hearts. Remember, God knows our thoughts. Remember, God knows our intentions. Remember, God knows all our things, all that we think about. He searches our hearts. He searched Enoch's heart, and he saw this man was walking right before him and was dedicated. Enoch walked with God because he had a true desire to be with God. He had a true desire to be with God. He never pretended. It wasn't a matter of forcing him. It wasn't a matter of saying, but what will my wife think of me if I don't do this? It wasn't a matter of what will my friends say if they don't see me carrying out my duties. It is something that was coming from his heart. He had a true desire to serve the Lord. And beloved friend, if you are to walk with him, you must have that desire to be with him. In other words, you must love him. You must love the Lord. So many times as Christians, we fall short of this. We don't love the Lord. If we love the Lord, we'll love him. We'll love his word. We'll love his work. We'll love his people. As it were, Enoch departed saved. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Not only did he depart saved, he departed while serving, as in S-E-R-V-I-N-G, serving. He departed serving. And I must encourage you that those who are walking with God will be serving him. Those who are walking with him, they will be busy, up and about as it were, exercising their spiritual gifts. Those who are walking with God will be able to minister according to the gifts that God has given them. This is the life of Enoch. Walking with God must manifest in serving him, in obedience to him. It also must show how you live your own life. So, beloved brethren, here is the challenge to you and me. Are we really walking with God? Having a personal relationship with him? Do we have our quiet time in the morning? Do we have a personal, heart-to-heart relationship with God? The Pharisees loved the Lord with their brains, with their mind, but not with their hearts also. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, your everything. A people who love the Lord will definitely walk with him. Let us pray together, shall we? Help us, O God, to walk with you. Help us, O God, to walk in obedience. We thank you for your word and the reminder this evening, especially as we have learned from the life of Enoch how we ought to walk by faith. Lord, we pray that you forgive us for the so many times we've not walked by faith. Heavenly Father, we also want to pray that you help us to walk consistently by faith. Eternal God, we pray that we will indeed feel the nearness of God in our souls as individuals and as your church here at Lusaka Baptist. Lord, we pray that our relationship with you will be real. We thank you for these words and we pray that we'll go out there in this week really feeling the nearness of you, our God, seeking your guidance, seeking your help as we live in this world. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.